The church is the body of Christ, and all of us are part of the church. So any problem we see in the church, we are all part of it, no matter the degradation of the church. God always has a remnant. Some people have actually crossed a certain line where they see a Jesus. They literally hear from a Jesus who is not our Jesus. What the Bible is trying to say is that there are counterfeits. Satan is not original. He always counterfeits the original. In fact, Peter said, there are false prophets amongst you, and false teachers will arise out of you. Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you praise, we give you all the worship. We thank you for making it possible for us to meet again. We pray that even as your word is coming, you will grant us that we might understand your word. Fill this room with revelation knowledge. Help us to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus. I pray for mercy and utterance to declare your oracles in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You're welcome to church this morning. Today is 10th June 2018. And we've been talking about the church, you know, looking at the church generally, the slumber of the church and the coming prophetic revolution. And like I always say, the church is the body of Christ, and all of us are part of the church. So any problem we see in the church, we are all part of it. We are not outside the body. We are part of the body. So when God shows you something that is going on, it means that you are a part of the problem. But God will have mercy on us so that we can be part of the remnant. Because from the previous weeks, we've seen that no matter the degradation of the church, God always has a remnant. And last week we looked at the battle of the seats, and we realized that there are two distinct lines of people or seats in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Then we saw that right from the book of Genesis, you will see two different seats. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That we trace these two seeds to the Bible. Down through the Bible. Okay, so for instance, we saw that it got to a point where people started building outside the presence of God. Today, I want to talk about another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. But I will talk about another gospel because I can't finish. And I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Oh, that you bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I've betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. This was the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he was expressing fear that, you know, the wife of the first Adam was deceived by the serpent, Eve. And he said that the bride of the last Adam, the church, might also be deceived by the serpent. In other words, the serpent will come to the bride of the last Adam, just as he went to Eve, and try to deceive her, you know, try to deceive the church from the simplicity that's in Christ. And then he was talking about another Jesus, that if somebody comes with another Jesus, or a different gospel, or a different spirit, we are going to receive the person. So it stands to reason that as we go along, we can come across another Jesus, who is not the real Jesus. Maybe our revelation of Jesus is not what the Bible says he is. We can get to a point where the Jesus we are following will not be the Jesus of the Bible. In fact, some people have actually crossed a certain line where they see a Jesus, they literally hear from a Jesus who is not our Jesus. You can open up to a spirit who is not the Holy Spirit. What the Bible is trying to say is that there are counterfeits. There are counterfeits. And the devil always brings counterfeits. Satan is not original. He always counterfeits the original. And anytime you see a counterfeit, it only reminds you that there is an original. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, even in the last days, you have to be careful because people will come saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. False prophets, false teachers will arise, not in the world, in the church. In fact, Peter said, there are false prophets amongst you, and false teachers will arise out of you. Then he said, and many will follow their ways. Many will follow their ways. Paul also said in Acts 20, he said, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come amongst you who will not spare the flock. So there are prophecies to show that the devil will creep into the church with certain counterfeits. In fact, they have crept into the church. To creep into something means to enter that thing subtly without being noticed. And that is what is happening, because the way the devil enters the church, the way he infiltrates the church, is so subtle and so gentle that you will not know. It's so subtle, so gentle, that you may not even know that he's there. And that has been his strategy in this end time. He seeks to infiltrate our ranks so that he can fight us from within. That's why I was saying that God always has a remnant, because it gets to a point when the church has entered into an alliance with the spirit of the world. When it happens like that, the church becomes bloated, big, but no substance. Because the Spirit of God is the only one permitted to govern the church. But we have another spirit called the spirit of the world. In 1 Corinthians 2, 11 and 12, Paul talks about the spirit of the world. He said, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know what has been freely given to us. We have not received the spirit that is in the world, of the world. So that spirit seeks to enter the church. Now, there's a relationship between the gospel, Jesus, and the Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose from the dead. And by reason of his death and resurrection, He released the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came because Jesus Christ had come. It was the Holy Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit couldn't have come if Jesus had not come. When you read John 7, 37 and 38, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In fact, you will notice that the word given is in italics in the King James and New King James. And so it was like that word was inserted by those who were editing, you know, those who were copying the scriptures to let it make meaning. So it could be read as the Holy Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So it was Jesus who came to die and released the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, the Bible helps us to understand that it was after he ascended up on high that he received the Holy Spirit and released him to the church. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you will now see and hear. This was Peter speaking after the Holy Spirit had come upon them on the day of Pentecost. So it is Jesus who came to die. Then by reason of his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came to make good or to effect what Jesus Christ accomplished through his death and resurrection. So they are related. So the gospel is what introduces Jesus to us. And Jesus releases the Holy Spirit. So the gospel, Jesus, and the Spirit, they are related. That's why Paul said that another gospel, another Jesus, another Spirit. Therefore, if you receive the wrong gospel, it's likely you will receive the wrong Jesus. And as a result, receive the wrong Spirit. In that order. Anytime you see people entering into error, the error started by the kind of gospel they received, the kind of message, their understanding of the word. That is what Satan attacks. The spirit of error will not visit you unless your understanding of scripture is in error. So it's very important to get the word in context and understand the word. That's why Satan always comes after the word. Anybody who drifts into error, when you hear people worshiping another Jesus and you say, oh, these people, they are wrong. When you see them following a certain spirit and say, oh, this is not the Holy Spirit. Know that their word-based is questionable. People are deceived when they build their Christian lives not on the word. When you build your Christian life on the word, and you are grounded in the word, and you are solidly planted in the word, and you are balanced, you will not drift into error. That is why when the devil went to Eve, the first thing he attacked was the word, as God said. Because once the word is attacked, once you start believing wrongly, you will start seeing Jesus differently. And you will start encountering demonic spirits. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and teaching doctrines of demons. He said they will depart from the truth, Anytime you depart from the word, you will open up to seducing spirits. And then you will start teaching doctrines of demons. That's why it is very dangerous when you are not grounded in the word and you start seeking spiritual manifestations. You can be deceived very easily. That's why there are some people, they don't go through teaching and then they start operating spiritual gifts. That is by God. That's God's doing. That's God does that. But the disadvantage is that some of these people know the moving or the movement of the spirit, but don't understand. And so they are easily deceived. When they are drifting into the other side, they can't know because they don't have the word to check them. But when you have the word, if you know the scripture and somebody tells you that you must pray mentioning your pastor's name at 12 midnight, and by doing that you are praying to God, if you know the scriptures, you see that this direction, you will know that it's not God. But if you don't know the scripture, you say, but my pastor represents God. Your pastor does not represent God. Your pastor, you, between you and God, there should be nobody. So your pastor is linked to God, just as you are also linked to God. And so your pastor must teach you that I have access to God. You too have access to God. So this is how you can exercise your access to God. Then you have access to God on your own. But you see that people are doing that. And because they don't know the word, they think it's okay. If you know the word, there are certain kinds of prophetic directions that you will not do. In fact, there are some directions you give when you don't have enough knowledge in the word. The gospel is very important. The word. It's very important that we understand the word. You see, depending on your understanding or the amount of light you have in the word, the devil can either lead you astray or not. That's why we have to make sure we are grounded. That is why when God starts showing you, you know, yesterday I was talking to somebody. As I was talking to him, he was telling me some revelations he had been having recently and how God has been speaking to him and all that. I said, okay, let's share. Then he started talking and talking and talking. Then he said something. And I said, no, this is wrong. You are drifting into error. I said, you are drifting. I said, whoever has been speaking to you, that spirit is not God. Because when you started, what all that you were saying were okay till you got to this point. How can you say God failed? God made several attempts to create man before he finally succeeded. It's not in the Bible. But that's what the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, is telling him. And when I tried to correct him, he was trying to tell me that he had a revelation. And I said, any revelation you have that contradicts scripture is not the Holy Spirit. Because it's the gospel, Jesus, and the Spirit. The word, Jesus, and the Spirit. You see, these three, they agree. So any revelation you have which cannot be validated by scripture, just drop it somewhere. As you go along, there are many things you will see. In fact, there are many insights you may get. But when you pass them through the word and you see that there is no basis for that insight or revelation, just put it somewhere. Just keep it to yourself. Don't come and teach it, because you can't prove it from the word. The Bible is our benchmark. The only hope
of us not drifting into error is the Bible. If everybody were to go by his experience, personal, subjective experience with the Spirit, we will lead people in many different directions. So God has given us the Bible as the benchmark. That is what should determine the extent to which you can go. Hello. So the gospel is very important. The gospel is not about Christ. The gospel is Christ. You see, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Mark 1:1, say the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not a gospel about Jesus Christ. So he is the content and the central person of the true gospel. He is the content and the central person of the true gospel. When you talk about the gospel, you are talking about Jesus Christ. The good news. He is the good news. That's why we call him the Word. He's the Word. What Mark wrote, Matthew wrote, Luke wrote, were accounts. They wrote, it's a gospel according to Matthew. The gospel according to Mark. That is what they saw about Jesus. And the thing that they had even forgotten, the Holy Spirit reminded them about Jesus. But the gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. What Jesus stands for, that's the gospel. Who he is, that's the gospel. The gospel is the testimony that God has given concerning Christ. And what that testimony? 1 John 5 verse 10 to 11. This is the testimony God has given concerning Christ. 1 John 5, 10, 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. See, that's the testimony that God has given concerning, and that's the gospel. The gospel means that Christ is the embodiment of life. All outside him is death. Christ is the only hope. All outside him is hopeless. That's the gospel. That's why in the early church, they attracted persecution because they were preaching the gospel. Because they told people that the only way to escape eternal damnation is Christ. He's the only hope. So when you are outside Christ, there's no hope. In Ephesians 2 verse 12, Bible says that when we were without God, without hope, strangers, we were strangers outside the covenant, the commonwealth of Israel, and we were strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the state of people without Christ. This is offensive to people because people think that God will look at them and look at what they have done, their contribution to humanity, how they have helped people and saved them. But the gospel said, no, unless you come this way, unless you accept Christ, you cannot be saved. So it presents you with the truth about man's depravity, that man is depraved, man is corrupt, and about man's inability to save himself, and about God's gracious offer of life eternal. That is the gospel. It's about Christ. The central truth about the gospel is Christ. He is the gospel. So Paul and Co, they preach Christ. Paul said, him we preach. They didn't preach anything. They preached Christ. Christ. That's all. Christ. Colossians 1:28. He said, him we preach, warning every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Him we preach. 2 Corinthians 4:5. So we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ. We preach him. He should be the central focus of the word. Every word, every teaching, every action, every prophetic direction, everything should end in the person of Christ. Otherwise, it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. So the true gospel abases all human efforts, concludes all under sin, and prescribes only one solution, Christ. So he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you are nice, a nice person, whether you are a kind person. It doesn't matter whether you are a calm person. He said, everybody has sinned and has fallen. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. You can never measure up. But he says, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, having concluded all under sin, and having pronounced the wages of sin as death, then God comes and says, you can't do anything to help yourself. Now, I have come with a solution. Here is it. That's the gospel. What happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sowed fig leaves to cover their nakedness, and God came on the scene? God said, you are still naked. You can never cover yourself. The only thing that can cover you is what I give you. So God took an animal, killed the animal, removed the skin, and used the skin to cover Adam and Eve. And God said, that is what will make you accepted in my sight. It is my solution. And that solution was a prefigure of God's ultimate solution, which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, before a person can come into alignment with God, he needs to accept Christ. Without that, it doesn't matter the effort, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much money you give to the church. It doesn't matter what the services you render to God. If you have not accepted Christ, he doesn't know you. That's the gospel. Then after the new birth, the only food God has prescribed for his children is Christ. Any teaching, series of teaching, content, any kind of message that does not result into Christ-likeness cannot be accepted as the gospel. Because the only food God feeds his children with is Christ. When you feed on Christ, the result is Christ-centeredness, Christ-likeness. So any true message of God, when it comes, two things will happen. The sinner will be convicted. The saints will be edified. Built up. Apart from that, it is our own message. If that message does not build up the saints, it is not from the Spirit. Not from the Spirit. Because the gospel does not only apply to those who are not born again. See, when you are not born again, you must obey the gospel. Paul said, God has given us grace and apostleship. Romans chapter 1, verse 1-4 said, God has given us grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith in the nations. But when you become born again, then the food that God also gives you is Christ. God gives, he feeds his people, his children, with Christ. The devil comes to teach us. God feeds us. The difference between feeding and teaching is this. Teaching goes to the heart. Feeding gives you ideas. Feeding gives you formula, gives you strategy, but it does not do any work in your heart. There's no relationship. So that's why God feeds his children. Paul said, when I came among you, I fed you with milk. I fed you. He was teaching them, but he was feeding them because the message was Christ. Christ inspired, Christ centered. I'm telling you this because I'm going to show you the counterfeit gospel that we have accepted. Another gospel. So, feeding will help you to be conformed to the image of Christ. Because God's main objective is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So that's what feeding will do. That's why I said feeding is Christ-centered. That the devil went to the Garden of Eden to teach them. The tree he asked them to eat was a tree of knowledge. To teach them. Teach them. Give them some wisdom. Open their eyes to do certain things. But God wanted to feed them with the tree of life. After being fed with the tree of life, man would have gotten to a higher level in relationship with God. But after feeding on the tree of knowledge, all that happened was that now their eyes opened. They were able to know one or two things. But there was no relationship. They were dead in the spirit, separated from God. Even though they knew one or two things. So the feeding will go to the heart and will ensure Christian growth. It will ensure Christian growth. But when you are born again, after you are born again, all that you need to do is to grow. As a believer, is to grow. Now, what the devil did in the Garden of Eden by teaching them, what he did was to circumvent the process. Because God said that, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And man was created in the image of God. There was nothing that Adam lacked because he was created in the image of God. The only thing was that he had not been given the tree of life to eat. That the tree of life would have taken them to another level of likeness, so the image and likeness. And Satan circumvented the process and introduced them to the tree of knowledge. So the things he promised them by eating the tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge, those things, the wisdom, the freedom, and all those things, they were in the tree of life. But he circumvented the process. So he wanted to give them the fruit of Christ without Christ-centeredness. People want the fruit of Christianity without Christ. We want peace, but we don't want to embrace the Prince of Peace. We want joy, but we don't want to embrace the one who is joy. Therefore, we have his happiness. We want the glory, but we want to avoid the cross. Watch it. That is Satan's stock in trade. That's what he does always. When he went to Jesus on the mountain, he said, he showed him the kingdoms of this world and the glory thereof. And he said, I will give these things to you if you will fall down and worship me. In other words, you don't need to go to the cross to get the glory. If only you will fall down and worship me, I will give it to you. But that was a counterfeit glory. And Jesus knew that. That's why he said, I will not worship you, Satan. I will worship God. He knew that the pathway to the glory was for him to go to the cross. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured the cross to attain the crown. The devil said, no, just bow to me and I'll give you the crown. So, now what we have now in a church is a kind of gospel that has tried as much as possible to avoid the cross. We have a kind of gospel that is crossless. No cross. We only want the glory, not the cross. That kind of gospel is another gospel. That is not the gospel that we have known from the scriptures. It's another gospel. Crossless Christianity, Christless Christianity. Christianity where the central theme is not Christ, but the central theme is the fruits of Christ. It does not ensure a devotion to Christ, commitment to Christ, but we only paint the fruit. You see, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. So, what we do is that our emphasis is on the kingdom and all other things. So, we say that seek ye first the kingdom and then all other things will be added. But it says, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness before all other things are added. The cross simply means self canceled. That's why it is even if you look at the symbol, it's like I cancel. It means you have been canceled. That's the cross. That's the cross. That's what God aims at, the Jew cancel. He must increase, you must decrease. That's the cross. It means total surrender to his will. Total surrender to his will. When you become born again, the next thing, you see, when you become born again, the next thing you do is to take the cross and follow him. That's what Paul and Co. preached. What Paul and Co. preached, they preached what Jesus preached. Paul's message, all that Paul preached, they only expanded what Jesus Christ said. Come to Matthew 16, 24. Matthew 16, 24. Do you know what happened before 24? From 21. From 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you. This shall not happen to you. Now, look at what Peter did. Peter was trying to prevent Jesus from dying. And much as Peter had a genuine heart, he was speaking Satan's language. Are you getting me? What Peter told Jesus was something that made sense. And he did it out of love. You will not die. Don't say things like that. You will not die. Why should you say you are going to die? Be it far from you. You will not die. He didn't know it was Satan speaking through him. Look at what Jesus said. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. It wasn't because Peter rebuked him. It was because he heard the voice of the devil. That same voice that told him that you don't need to go to the cross. If you bow down before me, I will give you the kingdoms of this world and the glories thereof. That same voice which said, if you eat this tree, you will be like God. Your eyes will open and you will be like God. That same voice said, you don't need to go to the cross. Be far from you that you will go to the cross. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So, Satan can be for you for as long as it is not going through the cross. Don't think that when we talk about doctrines of demons, we are talking about doctrines that encourage people to sin and doctrines that encourage you to go and worship idols. No. It's a doctrine that will encourage you to avoid the cross. It's a doctrine of self. gospel of self. That is another gospel, because the cross is self-canceled. Look at what he said after that. It was after this incident that Jesus began to talk about the cross to the disciples. Go to 24. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That was when he started talking about the cross. Because he said, you guys, you have received another gospel. So you are talking about not me not going to the cross to die. And you think it's good because death is a bad thing. But he said, if you want to come after me, then deny yourself, take up your cross. Which means that it is a life. You see, the gospel is a gospel of the I canceled. It's a total surrender to his will. It's not about you, it's about him. We have turned the gospel to be about us, who we are in Christ. What are my rights? What are my privileges? What about your responsibilities? That's what I'm saying. We have embraced another gospel. It's not who you are in Christ, it is who Christ is in you. The emphasis is on who he is in us. The moment we change it to who we are, you see, the thing is we, who we are. That's the gospel of self. Who he is in you. The greater one that is in you. The seed of God that abides in you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the glory and power may not be of us, but of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7. May not be of us, but of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, verse 3 to 6, he said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account for anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Go to the verse 5 and the verse 4. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So the gospel of self is starting in the Garden of Eden. I will show you exactly when it came to the church. Now, when we started talking about potential, your potential, what is in you must come out. You see, they are all the gospel of self. How do you know what God is calling you to do? So, look into yourself and find your gifts. The gifts that are in you. There's something in you. You see, it's a subtle thing. Because on the outside, it looks like we are preaching self-confidence. It's just tickling the ego. Paul said, in me, no good thing dwelleth in me. But now, the gospel we are teaching is that look into yourself. There are giftings in you. There's something in you. There's some. Even now, people are even saying that God, you see, it's like God created man, put everything in man to the extent that we don't need God. We only have to look inside to become what God wants us to become. Paul and Peter, who should have been sent to the Jews? If you look at what somebody knows, what he has, Paul should have been sent to the Jews, because Paul was an expert in the law. So he should have been sent to the Jews because he has studied law under Gamaliel and received certificate of his study under Gamaliel. He was well versed in the Jewish customs, and he could prove that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And yet, God sent Paul to the Gentiles, people who did not know anything about the law. So why do you say that if you want to know what God is calling you to do, look into yourself. Find out the gifts you have. What the moment you turn the focus onto yourself, it is another gospel. The focus should be on Christ. So if you want to know what God is going to do, ask him. Spend time with him. Let him direct you. It's simple. Ask him. Don't look into yourself and see your giftings and see this and say, oh, that's what God is going to do. No. Otherwise, Peter would have been sent to the Gentiles rather. Because he was a fisherman. He didn't know anything. And Paul would have been sent to the Jews. So, the gospel is eye counsel. It's a surrender. He said, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Listen, deny yourself is not self-denial. Let me explain. When we say deny yourself, it doesn't mean neglect yourself. People think that when you neglect your body or neglect yourself, it's denial. No. Deny yourself means that refusing to allow the I factor to reign and to control. That's why sacrifice is a big deal now in the church. Now, nobody wants sacrifice because we are not talking about the cross anymore. We are talking about I. How the I can be pampered. How to secure myself. Yes. But I see, in the Bible days, when they were preaching the gospel, they were not focusing on themselves. They were focusing on Christ. That's why even in the midst of persecution, they were standing tall. They were being killed, and yet they were still affirming their commitment to Christ. Today, even we the kind of teachings that we are receiving, we will get to a point where we will even say that the believer should not encounter any problem. To encounter a problem means that you have sinned, or means that you are carnal, or means that you don't know who you are. We have turned everything to revolve around ourselves. Go on the days when we used to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me. Now, that song is not popular because we have not decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Now, we are not taught that to follow Jesus means take up your cross and follow him. Wholehearted commitment. It's now about us. Serving God now is for us, our benefit. Giving now is not an act of worship anymore. Giving is a jackpot. Giving is like a lottery. Don't speak against people who give little numbers. Even those of us who don't give little numbers, we teach people how to stake lotto in the church. I'm telling you the truth. That's why I said the one gives little numbers, he started by drifting from the word, and now he's deceived. But we also teach you that giving is not an act of worship, giving is to receive. So, as you are giving, it's about you. It's not an act of worship. So it's like an investment. Let me tell you something. Prosperity does not come by giving and receiving. It comes by obedience. By obedience. These are things in the Bible. Okay? Giving and receiving is true. When you give, you receive. But look at I'm talking about the emphasis, how the gospel of self has invaded the church to the extent that we have turned all of God's truth toward ourselves. We have to tell you that forgiveness is for your sake before you forgive. Not in obedience to what God has said. Oh, forgive is for your own good. You see, because it's the gospel of self. We must pamper the self. That's why we love to hear things like, I see you flying your private jet. Let me tell you something. It's not everybody who will fly a private jet. It's wrong for you to say that the sign of God's blessing is for you to fly a private jet. In this world, not everybody will fly a private jet. Not everybody will build a house. Not everybody will buy a car in this world. When we are serving God, let's serve God because He is worthy to be served. When you are doing something for God, do it because He is God. Do it as an act of worship, not because you will get something. That's why, you see, do you know our problem now? There are many people who started ministry some years ago, 30 years ago. They never thought about money. When they were starting the ministry, they never thought about money. They will even be glad to be invited to come and preach. One man of God said that those days, when you are given invitation, you go with some passion. You are going to preach for sinners to be born again. Not about money at all. So they started a ministry with that mentality that this thing, I have to do it. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Then along the way, God blessed them. Now, God blessing them, it's normal. It's okay. The problem is, those of us who are coming now, what is our motivation? Those of us who are now preaching, that now starting churches, starting ministries, like you and I, what is our motivation now? Is it because we've seen these people, how God has lifted them? That's why we have the wrong mentality that as a man of God, I must be known all over. It's a wrong mentality. There are people in the Bible, we never hear of their names. We never heard of them. Where did Bartholomew go? Bartholomew, show me his ministry. Show me the ministry of Thomas. And yet Peter, James, and John, their ministries are written in the Bible. And Paul. The gospel of self that has given us that wrong mentality. So when God told Philip, go to Samaria, and he went to Samaria, and there was revival, and the whole city heard of his name. And then God said, go to the desert and go and minister to one man who is an eunuch from Ethiopia. Today, in our thinking, we will not go there. In our thinking, it will be a demotion from the revival in the city to the desert. Because of the kind of messages that we have been preaching. And we have been listening. It is all the gospel of self. The emphasis is on us. But I said, the gospel is about Jesus Christ. Even Jesus, he said, when you do what you ought to do, say, we are unworthy servants. We have done what you're supposed to do. He said, I will serve you no matter what. Now, let's ask ourselves, why do we preach? Why do we preach? Why do we desire the things of God? What is our motivation? Serving God now is not an act of love and obedience, but it's for ourselves. What we will get is our rights, covenant rights. What? We don't have any covenant with God. Please understand. We don't have a covenant with God. We don't have. So don't go to God and say, this is my covenant right. We enjoy the covenant Jesus had with his Father. That produced us. That gave birth to us. That covenant gave birth to us. We have a relationship with God. It's not about covenant. It's not an agreement. We have a relationship with God. The same way when you give birth to your child, it's a relationship. It's not a covenant. Your child doesn't need to give money before you take care of him. It's not like that. Are you getting me? Your child doesn't need to beg you before you give him things. If he's your child, you know that you are responsible for him. We have to shift from this thinking about covenant to relationship, Father. If God were to enter the covenant with us, we can't fulfill our side. That's why he did it with Jesus Christ, the perfect man, who fulfilled all the terms and said, it is finished. Then we were born out of that covenant. Then we are born out of the very bosom of the Father, and we have a relationship with God as dear children. We say that according to the gospel of self, when the believer faces persecution, faces trials, we say he has done something wrong. We say it's from the devil. But check the Bible. James 1 verse 1 to 3. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Diverse trials and disappointments. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trial of your faith produces patience. They were taught that because of the faith you have, trials can come. And they were made to be ready to stand when trials come. Because of the gospel of self. Because now everything is centered on us. When trials come, we can't stand. And we think that God has given up on us. Now, the gospel that we are preaching, the gospel of self, one aspect is that money is everything. Everything you need, all you need to do is sow a seed. It is a fallacy. It's not true. It's not true. All you need to do is to sow a seed. We have turned God into a lotto, and I mean that. As for God, when you sow a seed, you change his mind. It's not true. It's because of the gospel of self. When you sow a seed, when you give money, you are giving as an act of worship and love to God. That's why he said, if you don't give from your heart, it doesn't touch me. He said he loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because it's an act of worship and love. And so what we preach is that we have to know the principles of sowing and reaping to get money. I don't believe in the prosperity message that makes the preacher rich, but doesn't make the hearer rich. In the Acts of the Apostles, do you know why they didn't like anything in the church? Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 45. It says there was no person who lacked in the church. Go to 44. There was no person who lacked in the church. Not because there was a prosperity anointing teaching, or because they were sowing seeds, or because there was supernatural debt cancellation. But it was because, look at that. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. Okay, not that. Go before. There was one who said that, and there was none that lacked among them. Go to 42 and 43. I want to show you something. 43. Go to 43 and see. Okay, not that. Then let's check Acts 4. He said there was none who lacked among them. Yes, it's Acts 4. Verse 34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all were possessors of lands or houses, sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as they had need. This is the secret to prosperity in the church. It's when we learn to help one another. God is not going to rain money from anywhere. Don't be deceived. This, the Lord asked, God wants to give people millions of, I see millions of dollars. And God, if you can sow $100, you're going to work in millions. Okay, why are you going to sow? Because you are thinking of yourself. You want millions. Is that not it? It's not about the kingdom. It's not about God. It's not that you love God. Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Solomon loved the Lord and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And that same night, God came and asked him, what should I do for you? The thing is love. If you love God, whatever you are losing for the sake of the kingdom, you will lose it. That is the foundation for giving. That's why in the early church, when their hearts were touched, they gave out of their heart because they loved the Lord. You see, when revival takes place, the Holy Spirit touches hearts. He sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. When your heart is touched and you love God, you release. Not when we come and stand there and then we try to confuse you and we try to compel you, try to take money from your pockets. That's what we like, because it's the gospel of self. That's why the prosperity message is benefiting the preacher, not the hearer. The central theme of Christianity is sacrifice, is dying. is taking up the cross. That's the central theme. It's losing to gain. He said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if for the sake of the gospel you lose your life, you find it. It's Jesus. It's not us. We have preached a message that is like pick and choose. Take things out of context. We can take scriptures out of context, disjointed, then bring them together to back what we want to say. That's what we have done. It's another gospel. Any gospel that does not teach you to deny yourself is not the gospel. It's another gospel. Because the way to the top is down, 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 further down, like I always say. That's the way. See, this is what has produced many problems in the church, even in leadership. When somebody is called into ministry, you are a servant. It is service. You are a servant, not of the people of Christ. But you serve people. But people is not your master. Christ is. But a call to ministry is a call to service, not a call to chieftaincy. Ministry is not chieftaincy. Because of the gospel of self, now what we are preaching is that when God calls you, he makes you a chief, not a shepherd. That's why we like all the accolades. We enjoy all the accolades because it's the chieftaincy thing. That's why we think about territory. Territory. Why? This my territory. This I control this area. So any church that comes in this territory, I must fight him, make sure that I tear off his posters. You see where we have gotten to? It all started because of the gospel of self. Look at what certain things Paul said. Philippians 1:29. Romans 8:17. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. This one, we won't preach. Yes, we don't. Why should I tell you that we're going to suffer for Christ? This one I will not preach. Because I'm thinking about myself. You're also thinking about yourself. We are all thinking about how we can pamper the flesh. So when Christ even tells you right now, go here, you will start thinking about you. Come to Romans 8:17. You see, certain scriptures that we quote, we don't quote them all. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. But we only take this part. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. We don't add that we may also suffer with him. We don't add that part. We don't add, you see, this scripture, we often quote it, but we don't quote the full scripture. Let me show you another scripture that we quote. Revelation 12:11. We quote that scripture very often. Let me show you that scripture. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, full stop. That's what we quote for spiritual warfare. Beloved, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But he says, and they did not love their lives to the death. That's why they overcame him. That's why they overcame him. But we take the scriptures out of context, then we join them together, then we they back what we want to preach. Because this one, if you preach this one, nobody will come to your church. He said, if you're coming tonight, I will come. But I said, they did not love their life. That is talking about the cross. Self, putting, denying the self. But we don't talk about that one. Now, we are trained to put confidence in the flesh. It's a gospel of self. What Paul is saying in Philippians 3 verse 1 to 2, he said, we don't put confidence in the flesh. But we are being trained. Because we are trained to pursue worldly knowledge, like wisdom. So that we can be accepted by the world. So we can be accepted by the world. Why do you think people will go any extent to get certain titles? So that the world can accept them. It's all because of the gospel of self. Look what Satan said. I'm ending. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You shall be wise. Your eyes will open. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You shall be as gods. You will not be under any law. Have you heard people say that there's no law in the New Testament? Have you heard that before? There's no law in the New Testament. Galatians 6:2. You say, there's no law in the New Testament. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Moses. The law of Christ. But we say there's no law in the New Testament. But what about the law of Christ? It's right in the New Testament. It is another gospel. I'm telling you, it's all because of the gospel of self. That's why we preach a grace that looks like license to evil. It's a gospel of self. Another gospel, I'm telling you. Because there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that grace is equal to evil. Nothing. 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 Paul never preached that. Paul is the greatest grace preacher that ever existed. Paul was the champion of grace because at that time, people wanted to attain salvation through rituals and works. And Paul said, no, the only way to salvation is Christ. That was the grace message he was preaching. But if you go through Paul's epistles, you will see his emphasis. You will see that Paul's teachings were telling people to deny, to deny the self, to live for God. Galatians 5:13. He says, we have been called to liberty. Only we should not use liberty as an occasion to serve the flesh. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We have liberty. We have been called to freedom. But the freedom is not the freedom to serve the flesh. It's a freedom to serve one another through love. In Titus 2:11, Paul was writing to Titus, and Paul gave a definition. He gave the grace of God. He showed what the grace does. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. The grace of God. It teaches us to live righteously, soberly, and godly in the present age. When you talk about the fact that Christians should live holy lives, people say you are talking about law. Where did we get all these things? These are things that Paul and Co. talked about. Paul talked about the fact that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. So why is it that you tell me I'm preaching works, I'm preaching law? It's all the work of the devil. It's another gospel. Because believers must be instructed to know who they are, who God has made them. And then that should result into denying ungodliness and worldliness. If you know the price that God paid to get you, that's grace. Then the instruction is that we should live godly lives. Come to Hebrews 11 verse 28. If you want grace, you can go to the Bible, you can look all the scriptures of grace and see. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is a grace preacher in the Bible. With reverence and godly fear. We serve God with reverence and godly fear by receiving grace. So it's not the grace message is not like there's no law, there's nothing like sin, you don't have to even confess. That is another gospel. Another gospel. It's not what Paul and Co. taught. It's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. No. And somebody told that, oh, 1 John 1:9 was not part of the original manuscript. Were you there? You and I were not there. That is what we have now. See, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. It was written to believers, not unbelievers. So when the believer sins, the believer must confess his sin and be cleansed. If you sit down and say that, oh, there's nothing called sin, it's all a gospel. Because we don't want people to feel bad, that's why we preach that gospel. There's nothing called sin. I met one guy. He said, there's nothing called sin. I said, look, brother, take your time because what you are saying is wrong. He said, what I'm saying is not wrong. He mentioned his pastor's name. He taught us. There's nothing you can say a believer has sinned. Pastor taught us. So I took you to Ephesians 5. And I said, Paul was talking about do not steal, do not lie, do not to all those. What are they? He said, oh, they are, we have chosen to call them sins. They are just acts. I said, that's where deception can take you. When you pursue the gospel of self, you can get to a place where now you'll be deceived. Let me end with this. If you look at Paul, his teachings, if you take a book like Ephesians, he always starts with what has taken place in eternity, in the spirit. He starts with the fact that we have been saved by the blood of Jesus, sanctified, set apart. He talks about where we are in the spirit. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. In fact, in chapter 1, he talks about the fact that we were called before the foundation of the world. We were chosen, you know, to be holy and blameless. Then he talks about the fact that we have been made to sit together with him in chapter 2. Said, we were crucified with him, we were raised together with him, we have been made to sit together with him in heavenly places. All that one, those things are true. So he teaches the believers the legal facts, what has taken place on their behalf by reason of Christ's death and resurrection. We have to know all that. That God has lifted us, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. All those things Paul taught in chapter 2. Chapter 3, he talks about the mystery body of Christ. How now the Gentiles and the Jews, they are one body. Talking about mystery, chapter 3. When you go to chapter 4, he starts talking about how the believers should live. Should not walk as the Gentiles walk. We should walk in love, walk in wisdom. When you go to verse 27 downwards, he starts talking about let him who stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Say, forgive one another. Become tender-hearted, forgiving one another. He talks about all that, walk in love. These are things that we teach in the church. He was teaching that. He said, do put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man who has been renewed after the image and the likeness of him who created him. According to holiness, true righteousness and holiness. Then chapter 5, he starts talking about walking in love, walking in wisdom, walking in light. Then he goes to relationships. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children. Employers, do not cheat employees. Employees, do not cheat employers. He addressed relationships. Then after that, then he said, finally, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand. Then he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, look at the systematic teaching that he gave them. But you see, today, we approach spiritual warfare with the self, gospel of self. Let's kill our enemies. Judgment. Judgment night. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And yet we talk about the fact that we must execute vengeance on our enemies. Come to church with swords to kill your enemies. I was listening to one false prophet who is now he has converted. He said they use three things to deceive people: childbirth, kill for me, and then one other thing, like traveling. So he said they could come to church with knives. And he will bring the knives and sell them to the members. Tell them that when you go home, no, there, they will give you a red cloth. And say, whoever is worrying you, mention the person's name. When you mention the person's name, then they will give the knife. Then you will stab the person. They said, next week, come and give testimony. Then he said, people gave testimonies of how their landlord suffered stroke. How people, their mother-in-laws, how they suddenly died. Because the thing was backed by an evil spirit. It's never God's spirit. It's never God's spirit. That's why I said it's the gospel of self, which says that your enemies must die. It's not God's spirit. So they took the sword, and then he sold the sword to them. The knife, he sold them. God is a direction. It must bring money. He sold them the knife to them, and then they stab people. He said, mercy their name. Don't say it loud. Otherwise, somebody will hear. Just mercy their name quietly. They say, so and so. Then stab the person. That is another gospel. Imbalanced teaching. Imbalanced. You see, do you know when you have a right to punish disobedience is when your obedience is complete. That's why Paul took time to take them through. That's why sometimes we get defeated. Because you attend spiritual warfare. You're not talking to somebody. He first addressed relationships before he said, put on the whole armor of God. And even though he didn't say fight, he said stand. He said, so if you are, he said, husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit to your husband. Now, if you're not doing that, then you go and you attempt to take authority over the devil. It will not work. We have to be balanced. That's why he started by, that's why we have to grow by being tutored systematically in the things of God. Not these imbalanced teachings that are going on everywhere. You just take a piece here, you listen, you run up with it, take a piece here. No, we have to go through systematic teaching to be nurtured. Another gospel. Now we have another Jesus. Yeah, if you hear people saying that, me and my father Jesus Christ, and you know that they are not correct, know that there's another Jesus somewhere. In fact, I've spoken to somebody who was in the occult. They said that there's a demon that they call Jesus. They have named him Jesus. He is a counterfeit Jesus who appears to people and said, I am Jesus. Even Kakrabedi said that he had a dream and he saw one Jesus like that who came from the sky. He said there was trumpet and all that. Then he came. Then he said, my son, kneel down, I have come to bless you. Then he was about to, you know, then the voice said, no, don't do that. Then he saw that this Jesus, his eyes were green. And he realized that it was the devil camouflaging as Jesus. Bible says, and no wonder, because Satan, he transforms himself into an angel of light. So his messengers too can do the same thing. They transform themselves into angels of light. That is what they use to deceive us. That's why now, people who some years ago could not even come and hold the Bible, fetish priests, now they hold the Bible and they preach. And just because they are not in fetish priest regalia and they are in suit and tie, we can't discern. That's why he said, don't look at the outward. He said, by their fruit. You can discern the wolf by what he eats. The sheep eats grass. The wolf, they eat flesh. They feed on flesh. That's why I said, by their fruit. By watching them. The words that come out of their mouth, you know. We have to shine our eyes these days. Examine things you listen to. I couldn't get to talk about faith and all that. A lot of teachings that are imbalanced in the system. We preach faith as positive thinking and positive confession. That's not faith. You said that you are shocked. Because metaphysics is a branch of knowledge which borders on the occult. What they teach is that you can create reality with your thinking. Listen, you can create reality with your thinking. So whatever you start thinking and start thinking and start thinking and meditating, you can create it. So if you want, whatever you want, if it's a car you want, you get the picture of the car, paste it on the wall, and every day say to yourself, I claim this car. I have this car. That is not faith. That is metaphysics. It's a branch of knowledge that borders on the occult. Now it has entered the church. Now we have camouflaged as faith. So we have a lot of claiming. But faith is on the premise of what God has said. If God has not said it, you can't claim it. It's not faith. It's not faith. If God has not said it, it's not faith. What faith is what God says. It's your response to what God has said. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So when God says it, then you can and you obey it, then it's faith. Anybody can just get up and take a journey, but it will not be faith. But Abraham got up and took a journey, and it was faith because God said, go. Is that different? Shall we say, okay, just good scriptures. Good. I will not die, but live. You know what that scripture is? You don't know. You're not charismatic. I want to show you something. Psalm 117. I will not die, but live to declare the words of God. I will not die, but live. 117 verse 17. I shall not die, but live, and declare the words of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Has he chastened you? Now, somebody was reading the Bible. He got to this place and received Rhema. God breathed on that word, and it was a now word for him. And it delivered him out of a particular trouble. Then from that time, all of us are just quoting it. And we quote, we don't get results. We say that, but I was quoting the word. So, keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. Just keep on quoting scripture. It's not about that. It's not positive confession. It's about what God has said. What God has said. And you acting on what God has said. What has God told you? There are many things that we are like we have accepted and we are running with them, but they are not correct. And we have to examine the things we believe. Re-examine them. Because before you realize what we are calling Christianity now, we are introducing many things. It will get to a point. We will throw the Bible away. I'm telling you. It will get to a point. We will throw the Bible away. Then we will start living on the words of our pastors. We will start living on the experiences of people. What people saw or did not see. We will throw the Bible away. Then we will start living on principles of the world. We'll start buying into new age ideas. Principles of the world. Paul calls them elementary principles. Let's have a respect for the word. If you have not, you see, whatever you hear, ask questions. Let that be your attitude. Ask questions. You said this. Can you show me in the Bible? If you do that, you will help those of us who preach. But if you just open your mouth to swallow everything, you don't ask questions. It will get to a point you will put the Bible down. You will be living on people's words, not the word of God. So I'm giving you a caveat. Anything I say and you don't understand, be bold. Put a question to me. If I say something and you see that it does not go, put a question that you said this and that, but the Bible is saying this and that, and it you will help me. I will help you. Let me on our feet. Paul said that the people of Berea, they said, whatever Paul taught them, they went to search. They went to search. You see, deception starts when you believe your pastor cannot make a mistake. When you believe that a man of God has said it, so that is what it is. No, if you don't understand, you must ask. You must ask because we are all following the same Bible. I didn't write the Bible. You didn't write it. We are all learning what is in the Bible. So you have a right to ask questions. The same way when you hear things on radio, hear things, you don't have to just take them. You must ask questions. Ask questions. Practices in the church where you see things being practiced by people, men of God, and so because this man of God is doing it, it is right. No, you have to ask questions. That is how God is training us to be able to question popular beliefs and opinions. Not that you just come and you see what they are doing, just flow. No, I've told you about this revelation where I saw people swimming in a swimming pool. I saw big men. If I mention names, you'll be shocked. Big people swimming in a swimming pool, and they told me to jump and come and join them. When I entered the pool, I saw food that was stinking and smelling. Fufu adia chisu. I saw it all in the pool. From that time, I told myself, I will never look at what somebody is doing and copy. I will not. If I will copy, then I will make sure that what the person is doing, it can be validated by scripture. But just because somebody is doing something and he's a big person, doesn't make it right. We need grace. Let's pray for grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray for the grace, the strength. We pray that you anoint our eyes with eyes up. We pray for boldness to lift high the banner of Christ, to exalt only Christ, to focus only on Him, to make the word a priority, to give the word His rightful place in our life. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. That the word will become the only rule. That the word will become our benchmark. In all that we do and teach, the word will be the benchmark. The word of God. The word will be the check. The word will bring the balance. That will not be like Ephraim as a cake on 10. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We are praying for the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. The eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. That we will know the hope of His calling, not our calling. The riches of His inheritance, not our inheritance, His inheritance in the saints. Let's pray for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Korea talaba hasa talaba. Libra talaba ko zeteles. Mandelele kole mahatala malosata. Ratala makazo telemehesh. Rilele bekatala makalamogosite. Mandeleme kozi katalabahasa. Malia telemeko zatalabaha. Lo libre tele kelemahaton mahasi ketese. Ke mate telemeko zatalabaha. Rotalaba gizu telemeko sata. Mantelebe kasi kalamanokotos. Rinde kitala kanoka satala ya dose. Bretele kuzato nuboko satala. Makatani pratoto se. Rike imara sundele bahata. Ranta la bahando kusitele. Ro shata ya bahal. Lo stikale ya tana bahata. Ika tele miko shika hata. We are praying for this nation. We are asking God, let your hand be upon Ghana in the name of Jesus. Let the hand of God remain on this nation. We are praying for the leadership of this nation, that God will grant them wisdom and help and strength, that all that God has spoken concerning Ghana will come to pass, that the prosperity that God has spoken over this nation will come to pass only when our leaders are helped by God. So let's pray that God will help them. whatever good plans they have for this country, let the Spirit of God breathe upon these good plans. Any evil, selfish plan that will come into their minds, let those plans perish in their heads. Let them never see light of day. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Koriata labahazo tedesh. Man telenekosa. Libra talamakataraba. Makorobo sekalamalas. Ebra talamahasu kalamahala. Let your hand be upon Ghana. In the name of Jesus, breathe upon this nation. We come against every satanic activity. Satanic activities in the nation. Anything the devil will use to bring instability because of the revival that God has spoken over this nation. We come against every plan of the devil. Prosperity will come to Ghana because of the revival that is coming to Ghana. Revival is coming to this nation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for teaching us, oh God. We pray that you help us. Open our eyes, anoint our eyes with eyesight. Grant us sharp sense of smell spiritually, that we're able to know the things that are creeping into the church. Even as you reveal these things to us, we know that it's not because we are okay, but it's because we have a tendency of drifting. You have shown us these things because we have a tendency of drifting. It is possible for us to miss it and to enter into error. Therefore, we ask for your grace. Grace to be able to diligently apply ourselves to the things you show us and point out to us. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats.